Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize
when we ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and pull down on the safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. How's it going today, guys?
Fantastic. Sorry, we didn't know who you were actually talking to.
I'm talking to anyone that'll listen.
He's talking to the Grim Grinning Guys.
You know what it's time for. It's time for Rock Watch 2018.
Nope.
Are we giving up on that?
I've given up on them.
We've got to find another celebrity, though.
Now, Craig has hit a new low. The other day at the high school, we were at a professional development, and Craig was presenting. He tried to drop a Taylor Swift reference in relation to ACT scores.
Our goal is 22, and I thought...
ACT?
Yes.
ATC.
No.
Our goal is 22, so I was trying to say that
He wanted the slogan to be, I'm feeling 22.
I thought that was a great slogan.
You're taking it too far, Craig.
I'm trying to get down with the kids, be hip.
I think you're...
You are quite hip.
How old is that album, anyway?
He's the hippest cat I know.
Wasn't she still in country music when that album came out?
Definitely no longer relevant.
Except to Craig.
Well, it is milestone episode 66 here on this Monday afternoon. And
say it like that?
Because I got a case of the Mondays.
Are you back to the
He's a DVC winner.
The rich and famous.
Come look at the fantasy palaces they call home. What are we doing today, guys? What is today's episode about?
Oh, it's about...
If our listeners couldn't tell from the episode title, what's it about?
It's about Up, Birds of Prey.
And Birds of Prey. We are watching Up as we record, and fortunately, the movie is much better than the show.
And it's past the sad part.
At Animal Kingdom. Well, since my coworkers don't know, I'll just tell you. Today is the Toy Story Land Roundtable Review.
That's what we meant.
And we've brought some special guests in here. It is myself, Derek, and Craig to talk about Toy Story Land.
And who's the special guest?
We're special.
Oh, we're special.
Yes, we are
special. We may not be guests, but we're special, I think. So, guys, we've been referencing this for a while. When we mentioned in our recent two-part recent trip rundown, we've alluded to the fact that we were going to go over our thoughts with Toy Story Land. And I think we're ready to do that, are we not?
I think so. We were just talking about the other day how we've gone completely dark on social media since we've gotten back. It's time... We've kind of had to get a break and get a breather since we got back because we did so much.
I mean, I've been asleep since we got home.
Me too.
Not me. I had a job to go to.
Oh.
Oh.
Well. Sorry, I'm not a teacher.
We did too, listeners. Hey, we do more than that. So we're going to start today talking about the overall theming and decor of Toy Story Land. Now, you're going to hear all types of bloggers and vloggers and cloggers talk about their thoughts on Toy Story Land, but we're here to share with you ours.
There's really going to be some cloggers that are going to...
I guarantee you.
Hey, you spent too much time at Dollywood.
That's our new niche. We're going to be clogging podcasters. That's what's going to separate us from the rest of the pack.
I remember going to Toy Story.
He's not a very good clogger. In all seriousness, though, you probably have seen online, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, several people review Toy Story Land. I know, guys, in comparison to Pandora, it probably hasn't gotten the love as far as theming.
Or anything else.
Yeah, but I think Toy Story, and I'll just go ahead and get the ball rolling here. I think Toy Story Land, for what it is, I think it's a great addition to Hollywood Studios because...
What does that mean, for what it is?
Well, I think it's. I don't think it's meant to be Pandora. I think
Pandora.
I think to try to compare the two is unfair.
I think Disney had to sell Pandora to an audience that has forgotten Pandora. Toy Story Land, I think, is already a sale within itself. So all you do is add the things they did, and it's automatically a pull to it. Do you agree with that?
I agree. Yes. What do you think, Derek?
Fine.
I mean, honestly, they added they added two rides and took Toy Story Mania and just flipped it around where they got a different entrance. I mean, really, that's all they did. And they added Woody's Lunchbox. But other than that, I mean, it's honestly, it's just the neatness of Toy Story, the movies, that draws you into that.
Yeah. And I guess my whole point was I'm not nearly as critical of it as some people have been. I know Disney's been criticized for cutting the budget on it. And obviously, they probably could have put more money into it and made it more elaborate. But at the same time, we know that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is on the way. We know that Mickey's Runaway Railway Rompus Room or whatever it is going to happen and open sometime next year. But the whole time I was there, I kept thinking, man, Bruin and Keegan would love this. So I think it's a very good, strong addition to Hollywood Studios.
I was just going to ask, though, how much time would you spend in that land?
With them, it's hard to say. I mean, I can see myself spending...
I mean, because outside of the rides and one quick service restaurant, there's not really...
Well, you have a couple of character meets, character meet options. You
out
also,
in the sun.
Yes, but you also have... I think there's a lot of details that kids would enjoy looking at. A lot of little... The Toy Story Mania queue, the entrance queue and the exit queue, I think it had a lot of little different knickknacks and things that my sons would enjoy kind of looking at and taking pictures with. And things like that. So I can see us, our family, spending 2 to 3 hours there, depending on how long we're going to have to wait to ride the rides.
My biggest negative about the whole thing would just be what Derek sort of mentioned, shade. I mean, there's hardly any shade there. And the second thing is seating. I mean, I just don't think they planned well for anybody to sit down and enjoy.
That's true.
Even Woody's Lunchbox is so small, and then they built a humongous... queue for Toy Story Mania that it was unnecessary, but at the same time, they could use that for more seating. But there's nowhere to just sit and enjoy the land. But again, I think the anticipation is when Toy Story Land dies down, then there'll probably be enough seating. That way they didn't do too much of it. But I still think the queue is just too much for Toy Story Mania.
I think the seating is probably fun if people aren't just sitting there.
But how many places did we go to when we were there and people just sat? And not just in Toy Story Land, but other restaurants. I mean, people just, you know.
Right.
And everybody wants to sit down and rest. But they did especially. I just keep thinking about the guy that wouldn't let us buy.
Oh, yeah. Don't try to go into the seating area.
Backwards.
Backwards, like you're going to order something. Even though he's the guy.
We got reprimanded.
The cast member was at the... where you leave the seating area, and he had menus. And uh-huh. So he handed us a menu and said, okay, keep walking on around.
You can't come in this
way. He didn't say it like that, but that's essentially what he said. Yeah. And I was like, why are you standing there with menus then? Just direct people on around and say...
And we talked to our friends Josh when we were down there a little bit about this. I think I don't think the land's perfect
mm-mm.
by any means. But like, for example, the huge queue for Toy Story Mania, and if you read Josh's blog, you'll see this. I think that outdoor portion where Woody and Jesse meet in front of it, they could have easily moved them inside.
Absolutely.
Meet and greet.
They could have done a character meet like they have at Epcot in that area.
Yeah.
A whole little trifecta, yeah, maybe.
And are two different sides, mm-hmm. kind of like in Princess Fairytale Hall. One side you can meet Woody and Jesse, and the other side you can meet Buzz and maybe a Green Army Man or something like that.
Even if it's exposed to the... Even if it's open to the outdoor air, at least it's shaded. Because
I think we all agreed that they're never going to fill that extended queue out to that point. And maybe we'll see over time, they may change that. I think it'd be fairly easy to change that and just make it a straight shot through that extended queue portion.
I was surprised. I didn't expect a whole lot going into it. So it did exceed my expectations of theming and whatnot. They say you could see... the footsteps of
Andy's
footsteps. I don't think I noticed those, but again, it was only a few weeks old and people were still pretty... It wasn't filled to capacity, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I don't think we could see stuff like that just yet, even though we probably could have that morning that we went.
I pointed out to Matthew the shoes.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I didn't know you were where you were, Derek, I guess. Wondering off, but And just, again, not to stay on that, but the Q, again, just to, I guess, give an example of how over massively it is, we got lost going into it.
We did. That one
it was
night.
Just us three walking in. No one else was around us. And they had the door open, and Matthew thought it was just a exit door that was open for air or something.
Yeah.
But it's where we were supposed to go. It was just crazy how big it is.
Very, very extended queue.
Well, you just want to run around the land and kind of explain, I mean, tell what our thoughts were, start with Woody's lunchbox.
Yeah, Derek mentioned that detail of Andy's footprint. One of the little details I liked is some of the benches were made out of popsicle sticks, and you could tell there was still that stain on them where they had been eaten. I know I saw a picture of Twitter where somebody posted that, but that was just a cool little detail that I enjoyed. Were there any details in the land that you liked?
I think it just, this has probably been said by many other people, but just at night. I mean, I just think the details at night just blows you away. Derek and I were there during the day. I think, did we make it there during the day too?
We did.
Okay. During the day, we were all there. At night, it's just a whole different atmosphere, and just the colors lighted up, and it does seem more of a child's playland at night, just with the lights and the way they strung along.
I kept thinking, I can't wait to bring the boys. Like I can't wait to go back to Toy Story Land just because I think it'll be so much fun with them. And as much as we enjoyed it, I really enjoyed it, but I think just seeing Bruin and Keegan experience it will be even more awesome. So do you want to talk about, let's start with Woody's Lunchbox, and we'll kind of break down the land itself. What do you think? I did not eat at Woody's Lunchbox. I had a drink
portal
there,
punch.
A portal punch. But Craig, you and Derek both ate dinner there one night. Why don't you, Derek, you're the food guy. What did you think of the cuisine at Woody's Lunchbox?
My most recommended item at Woody's Lunchbox would be the portal punch.
Mm-hmm. It is quite good.
I believe that's what I would do. And even though we had been there within 2 weeks, they had already taken off the
Monte Cristo sandwich.
Was gone when we were there. So we were limited to the barbecue sandwich and a cold turkey sandwich and three cheese grilled cheese.
Now, the barbecue is brisket. Is that correct?
Yes. And we had two of the three.
Right.
And
we had the tots.
And tachos.
Tachos.
And we had the
macaroni
salad. Yep. So we had a couple of the sides. Tachos were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
And the
brisket sandwich was, the brisket itself was good, but the bread was real hard, like it had been sitting out for a little bit.
And a lot of sauce.
And a lot of
which
sauce.
Which I'm not much on sauce for barbecue. For some reason, I prefer the old natural, whatever that means.
You don't want you think a good sandwich should stand on its own.
For the most part, it just depends on the type of sandwich. But the turkey, the cold turkey sandwich, I thought it was better than the brisket. But again, I think that was due to the bread issue with a little bit of stale bread to it.
Yeah. You really like the macaroni salad.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just to go over the menu, the barbecue brisket melt, the smoked turkey sandwich, grilled three cheese sandwich, and tachos. For breakfast, we did try a raspberry lunch box tart, which is...
Did we all try that? Or did
we shared one.
I couldn't remember if y'all had
it. And I believe it was kind of like a little bit better version of a Pop-Tart.
I would disagree with you there.
You thought Pop Tarts are better?
I believe Kellogg makes a better.
Oh well,
better tart.
I enjoyed it. Also for breakfast, they have a breakfast bowl, which is the potato barrel smothered in brisket country gravy.
Ooh,
I didn't see that.
That does sound good.
I don't remember that being there. I think I would have ordered one. A s'more French toast sandwich and smoked turkey breakfast sandwich and banana split yogurt parfait. So you do have a few breakfast options there as well. But overall, what do you give it? Derek, out of 5 stars.
One more thing to add to
sorry.
It. The whole time we were there, the mobile ordering did not work well.
Correct.
Derek tried twice to order, and both times it said the app was not working. And then later, he got a phone or a text that said our food was ready.
Not that our food was ready, just that I needed to get it ordered because they closed at 10.
Oh, that's right.
And so, because you can mobile order as early as you want in the day, and then you've got all day to finish your order, and I just didn't take it to the finishing step because I didn't know it was letting me.
Right. And that, again, that may be because we were just there the first 2 weeks that it opened, so that could have factored into it as well.
So what would you all give, Derek, what would you give Woody's Lunchbox out of 5 stars?
3.
Okay.
Average. Give it an average.
At Hollywood
rating.
Studios, that's probably ranking pretty high. Craig, what about you?
I think I would be right there, 2.5. And again, some of mine is because of seating.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to sit because everybody was lounging around or people were sitting there eating, but there was very few places. Now, they had lots of fans going. It wasn't very hot there, but it was just hard to find somewhere to sit. The food-wise, like I said, nothing really outstanding. I did like the brisket, but the bread was not that great. But the Porta Punch probably would rank my ranking a little bit higher. So 2.53, right around there.
I think it is strange. There's two windows to order from. There's not a big seating area. And you just look at all the space they could have put that in. It is confusing. I don't understand. Again, and we don't run a theme park, so we don't really know. But
and the closest place to that to eat, you do have the snack right there at, it's come around the corner. What was that, Derek?
The Joffrey's?
Yeah. Yeah. Joffrey's there. That's the closest thing. And then
ABC Commissary.
ABC Commissary is next thing. So, I mean, to be that far away from the other eating places, it's kind of confusing too.
And I think we have to keep in mind, I think a lot of what they did had to do with projections for Star Wars Land. I think they very well understand that going forward, that's obviously going to pull a lot of people to the park. And so, you know, I kind of already take back what I said. They may need that extended queue for Toy Story Mania because that park's going to see a huge spike in attendance. And Toy Story Mania is a great attraction.
That's a good point.
And I think that Slinky Dog Coaster, I think it is very, I think it's going to be very good at handling crowds. The wait times so far have not been horrendous, and it's still a fairly new land.
And you
so.
Can, from inside Toy Story Land, you can see Star Wars Land, and it is crazy
massive.
How big that place is.
Massive. So that's, I think that's important to keep in mind. I think you can't really get an accurate assessment of Toy Story Land without talking or mentioning Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So what about
the teeny tiny bathroom?
Okay, the bathrooms. Let's talk restrooms.
Now decoration wise, it looks like Tinker Toy blocks, which is kind of neat.
Scrabble pieces, I think.
But it's got a Tinker Toy big thing next to it.
Yes, it does. So they built the bathroom out of Tinker Toys and also spelled restrooms in
Scrabble
pieces. Mm-hmm. Actually, on the app, you can see Andy's footprints on the sidewalk.
Oh, I see it now.
That's neat.
So, what did you all think of the restrooms, Derek?
I thought they were small for
well
what they were expecting. They are, I don't know.
They are for toys.
That's true. But I think you could maybe accommodate 10 toys at a time. It was just odd to me. Like you said, they've got this huge area for Toy Story Mania, a pretty good sized seating area that will seat a lot of people eating if other people are not trying to rest there. And then yep. The bathroom is not large at all. I'm flummoxed.
He's flummoxed.
I got some medicine for that.
Craig, any thoughts on the restrooms?
I just thought they were greatly decorated. I like the look of them, but again, I'd probably not spend as much time in there as Derek. I don't guess.
Well, I don't spend a lot of time in them.
Now, Derek, one thing I meant to ask you about when we were talking about the overall theming, decor, you said that when you first went in, you thought it felt bigger than Pandora. Why is that?
Well, I think it's largely because it's wide open. There's not trees in the way. There's not all these
floating mountains.
There's not fountains and shrubbery everywhere. So it just feels a little bigger. I think the actual size is 11 acres and Pandora is 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it helps that it doesn't have all that greenery and shrubbery. It just makes it feel a lot more open and airy. And
it seemed cooler because more breeze through there is what I kind of felt like.
Well, we had the fortunate situation where we were there late at night, right before it closed, and early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I think we can talk for a while just about that early morning magic hour. Obviously, it opened at 7 a.m., and it was, I think that's why I enjoyed it just as much as anything, is it wasn't crammed with people when we were there.
Right.
And the land was, 2 weeks old?
And that's where everybody was headed that morning.
Yeah. But it was awesome. We got in. We got to see it all, do it all. We rode Slinky Dog twice, Alien Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania. And we were done with that by 7:30 because they opened the land a little bit early. But It was wonderful to experience it that way. I don't think they'll keep those 7 a.m. openings.
We want to just progress on around the land and go to Alien Swirling Saucers.
Let's do it. Alien Swirling Saucers. Craig, what did you think of it?
I really liked it. I thought it was really neat. The way I had never seen anything work like that. The way they did the cars. I thought it was the ride was kind of short, I thought. But other than that, I think it was real fun. I think for little kids, it'll really be a blast. Again, I didn't have the comparison you guys do from Disneyland. So for me, I thought it was a neat little ride, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Derek, you mentioned Disneyland. What is Alien Swirling Saucers, for our listeners who don't know? What does it have to do with Disneyland?
Well, it is the Disney Walt Disney World version of Tomater's Junkyard Jamboree.
In Disney's California Adventure.
And it is... I would say Tomaters is superior in every way.
I agree. And you and I discussed this. Craig has not been to Disneyland. Sorry, Craig. Don't mean to throw that in your face. But it is a fun ride. But you and I both felt like Maters is faster. Now, I don't know. I think the Swirling Saucers, I think they work to make it more comfortable. I think it's a more comfortable ride.
Do you think so?
More so than Maters, from what I recall. Just because Maters felt faster.
Did you just ride it the one time?
Swirling Saucers?
Yeah.
Twice.
Did not feel rough to you?
No.
Every time I rode, it felt rough.
Well, I think, feels rough by nature. No,
it kind of slings you.
No, it wasn't that. It was the wheel or wheels underneath the cart didn't feel completely circular.
Well, maybe that was it.
It was like, dun, 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 dun. See?
That's part of the experience.
Can you imagine how that would feel?
It's a swirling saucer. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm hurting right now just hearing that.
See? Exactly. That's what I'm trying to convey here.
Well, like Craig said, I think it's a ride.
One more time, Derek, just so the...
glad we got that.
Yes.
I think it's a ride that... We enjoyed it, but I think it's a ride that, as you said, Craig, kids are going to love.
Yes.
And get a big kick out of.
And again, they're not gearing all these rides for grown men.
No, they're
like
not.
Us.
So that's not why this
land
is in place.
We have to keep this in mind, okay?
Thinking about that, where would you rank? We ranked our rides, right? One through.
Can we wait until we talk about all the rides first?
Sure.
We'll do that at the close of the...
Okay.
Okay.
That could be our Grim Grinning Greatness question for the day.
So, do you guys want to say anything about the character meets? There's the Woody and Jesse character meet. There's the Buzz character meet. The three of us met Buzz at
Buzz
night.
And those pictures turned out very well. They did not.
They did not.
And throughout the park, the Green Army Men are everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not just one photo op. They're walking through about the whole time, so you can get lots of pictures with them.
And we did not meet him, though, or her, or
person.
Them. So.
Well, let's talk about the slinky dog in the room.
Well, because Toy Story Mania is still Toy Story Mania.
Yeah.
The entrance has changed. The queue's great.
The queue is much better.
Yeah.
And the exit. The exit, I love the exit queue.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't just take you directly out. Doesn't take you through a gift shop either.
It does not. A lot of great
give
details.
Give them time.
A lot of great details in the exit. The ride itself is still the same, but I think the overall experience, I liked it a lot better. Just the entrance, the exit. And again, you're walking in from Toy Story Land. You've been shrunk down to the size of a toy. And so
everything walking out is the monkeys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got rope... kite string. I mean, it's all decorated just like you said, like your toy.
Yeah. And it's, given the fact that these other rides are new, it's not a madhouse rush to get there in the mornings either.
Right.
So not that the new has worn off of Toy Story Mania, but it's a great ride. It's always been a great ride. I think we ranked it ninth, and now they just took that and plussed it. And of course, they added the third track a while back.
Right.
So that's also helping to cut down on wait times too.
Yep. All right. Now we can go to Slinky Dog.
Craig, what were your thoughts on Slinky Dog Dash?
I enjoyed the queue. I enjoyed just seeing... It always amazes me how in-depth Disney goes to decorate those things. And there's just board games. There's pieces. My favorite part was probably of that decoration is there was even one where it looks like you pop out pieces and put together. And you can even see where the pieces were missing, where it had been popped out. Again, all the board games... I really enjoyed it. I thought that was neat. Two favorite parts of the whole ride for me was Wheezy at the very end singing. I enjoyed that. That was really, really fun. And kind of a surprise. You didn't know it was going to be there.
Was he moving on up? To the east side?
Different Wheezy.
Oh.
Different Wheezy.
The Jeffersons, no.
But my favorite part of the whole ride was as you're going, and again, unexpected if you've ridden it the first time, and he comes around and he stops and starts backing up and he goes, hang on. So yep. That's my favorite part of the whole ride. And then he takes off again. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was the perfect length, and I thought it was different than anything else Disney does as far as the roller coasters.
I don't know. To me, it's pretty similar in style to Mine Train. I thought it was a lot like Mine Train. A little bigger, a little longer, but it's got that kind of slow point in the middle, which would be the cave, when you're going through the cave for Mine Train, and you're hang on part. Mm-hmm. So I just think they're pretty similar rides. You don't have the swinging action, but I think they're very similar rides, just from a ride point of view. And both very smooth, very enjoyable rides. So I'm not saying I didn't enjoy them, but yeah. I think they're more similar than what Craig does, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they are similar, but like Craig said, I think it stands on its own. To me, it felt longer than Mine Train does. I think because Mine Train has that long stretch inside the cave, whereas Slinky Dog has that one little pause, but the rest of the time you're coasting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a little pause. It was a good 20-second pause.
It's not well. Apple tomato, potato. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I think from start to finish, Slinky Dog Dash. I think it's more fun than Mine Train. Love Mine Train, great ride, but I think start to finish, Slinky Dog is more fun, and obviously the queue is not nearly as elaborate. But again, we're getting into comparing it to something else. But I thought Slinky Dog was great. It looks like a playset that's been put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like what it's supposed to look like. And I like the music. I love Toy Story music. The Toy Story music, Toy Story Land music is really good. But yeah, Slinky Dog Dash, it goes a lot faster than what I expected it to. It's something that I know my family is going to love riding together for years to come. And the very end, you know, the ride is done. You get to see Wheezy sing a little bit. It's an awesome ride.
You know,
and the seats are comfortable.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
They are. And it's smooth. The other thing I like about Slinky Dog Dash is, and I'm just while you were talking, I was just sitting here trying to think, it's an outdoor coaster, and you experience more of the outdoors, I think, with Slinky Dog than most rides at Disney. The other roller coasters especially. I'm sitting here thinking
There's no outdoor ride at Hollywood Studios.
Right.
They're all indoor.
Right.
And so it gives you that opportunity.
But I mean, comparing it to Mine Train, which is more, you're not really out there. You've got mountains around stuff like that. If we look at Big Thunder Mountain, there's mountains all around. This one's open. I mean, you can see everything around, and there's not a whole lot of rides like that at Disney
there's
necessarily.
Not. You could see the Tower of Terror. You could see over into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and of course, we got to ride it around sunrise, which was awesome. And we got to ride it at night. And it gives you, just like any outdoor ride, it gives you two different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I ride a rock and roller coaster in the day or at night, it's the same thing.
And another neat thing about the Slinky Dog is it sounded like you could hear the spring.
Yes, yes.
Every so often, which I thought was neat.
What do you give Slinky Dog Dash out of 10? No, let's stick with the 5-star rating system.
Okay.
What do you give it out of 5?
Out of 5, I would give it. For me, 4.6, 4.7.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really neat. And I think, again, it's not geared towards us. It's geared towards kids, and I think kids will love it.
Yeah.
I
like it more than Mine Train. I'll say that.
Wow.
Maybe because I wrote it 10 times with Derek. Maybe that's what it was.
But got burnt out on Mine Train.
I'd probably give it a 3.7.
3.7.
It's just, it was kind of, I do think I enjoy it more than Mine Train now, after thinking about it and riding Mine Train 10 times in a row. I do think it's a little more enjoyable because of that openness that you've talked about. You can just see more and take in the land a lot more.
I think I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to kind of be right in the middle of y'all, about a 4.2.
Yeah, I would be sub four.
I think a lot of people were concerned that Swirling Saucers, it's a carbon copy of Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. There was no innovation with that, okay?
No.
But I think Slinky Dog is very unique, like you said, Craig. It's similar to Mine Train, but I don't think they just copied something from somewhere else. I think they put some good Imagineering behind it, and I think it shows. I think it's a lot better and more fun than what a lot of people expected. So,
and if you're if you're, I've heard this mentioned on a few of the other podcasts, that if you're in line, and we felt this at night, and they're doing the Star Wars show, you and the fire from the Grommans,
yep,
you can feel the flame.
And you can see the fireworks.
You can. And, mm-hmm. and so just know that you might get a slight char.
Just be careful. Well, that's something else about riding that outdoor coaster is you can be on it when the fireworks are going off. Kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, riding this magic.
Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And one more thing about the decor. I love the life, the huge, larger than life, the Woody, the Buzz, the Jesse, the Rex. You're not going to find that. You can find it at some of the Disney hotels, some of the value hotels, but you're not going to find that in a lot of parks.
Jenga stacked up.
Yeah, and, you know, that stuff's just cool to me.
Neat and little I would say go at night.
Oh yeah,
I would say go during the day, but at night is when it really shines. Mm-hmm. I think,
and probably with Star Wars Land opening up, will be easier to get on those rides once that happens. Yeah. But
it may be harder.
We would encourage you right now to go at Rope Drop. Go straight to that Rope Drop. You can ride everything and get it done and get it taken care of. It's just the way to do it. And, yep. and if we want to help you with planning, that would be the number one thing. Go to Rope Drop and head straight over there.
And coming up in the near future, we'll have our first 2 hours in Hollywood Studios
there
episode. And we'll share more Rope Drop tips and tricks with you then. So, guys, anything else you want to mention about Toy Story Land? We talked for a while, I feel like. I think overall we really enjoyed the land. So anything else you guys want to add?
And it's a great photo opera as you come in underneath the sign. So there's...
With Woody.
Yep. That's a neat takeaway as well.
Well, all right, boys. I've enjoyed talking Toy Story Land. I think it's a great place, and it's going to be a great addition to Hollywood Studios for years to come. But it's time for the longest running segment in Triple G history, and that is...
Greatness.
He really likes that Slinky Dog Dash.
Hang on.
Oh, man. Derek, what is your Grim Grinning Greatness question for today?
Well, in reflection of our ranking of all the rides at Walt Disney World, where would we rank the two new additions to the ride Entourage?
So we each going to give...
Yes.
Our honest opinion. Okay. So where we would rank
it. And it's going to be, do you want to do it as among the other 47 rides or just at Hollywood Studios?
No, among all 49. All
okay.
What is now 49?
We need the list back.
no list. Just going from memory.
Right there, I think.
Derek, where would you rank Alien Swirling Saucers?
Alien Swirling Saucers. I'm just going to give it a number. Because I don't remember any of the list, practically. I'm going to give it a number of... How many rides are there? 49?
Yes.
40.
Right at 40, so it's now ahead of... Oh, you're bumping Grand Fiesta Tour down to 41.
Yep.
Oh, I got hate for putting it there. You may get hate for moving it down below Alien Swirling Saucers. Craig, what about you?
I want to put it... I enjoyed it. I thought it was really neat, but... I'll probably put it around there, too. I mean, you're in the high 30s, around Astro Orbiter and Mission Space. I mean, it just wasn't something that I've got to ride again. I mean, I'll ride it with my family, but
So what number did you put?
36, 37 around
36.
There. 36?
Yeah. I'm going to put it at 42.
Okay. I like it.
I'm going to put it at 42, right behind the Barnstormer. I think Barnstormer... is a better ride, but I'd rather do Swirling Saucers than the Liberty Bell Riverboat. So,
good point.
I'm going to put it at 42. Derek, what about Slinky Dog Dash? Where would you rank it?
Oh, Slinky Dog. It's probably going to be around 16.
Puts it ahead of what? Wow, that's...
Safari 15, remember?
Oh, he's putting it right behind the Safari.
Right behind Safari. I'm just... To me, the two new rides, Slinky Dog is better than Toy Story Mania, but not better than Tower of Terror or Rock and Roller Coaster for their individual park.
I see.
And Alien Swirling Saucer is, I would still have that as the worst ride.
It's the worst ride in Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of good rides there. Well, the rides that are there are good.
There's not a too, lot of rides.
Not too many there. Sorry.
All right. If I'm putting in the rankings, sitting here looking at our remembering right off the top of my head our rankings, we had 12 was
remembering it right off the top. You're a funny one, Greg.
12 was Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. 11 was Rock and Roller Coaster. 10 was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So, if that's the case of what our rankings was, I'm going to have to say it was number 10 because I like it better than Seven Dwarfs. So, putting that above the other roller coasters, again, what I think because the sights and sounds of Slinky Dog. So, I'm going to say number 10, Dotson.
Ooh, it cracked the top 10. So, you put it right ahead of Mine Train.
Correct.
It's not top 10 worthy.
It's for me, it's better than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train if we're going to do that according to our rankings.
Better, it's not better than Rock and Roller Coaster.
Well, we ranked Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ahead.
No, one of us ranked Rock and Roller.
I think it's the same. I think it's the same thing we talked about with a lot of rides. It's the newness factor.
Sure.
That being said, I'm going to put it at. I'm going to put it at number 13 for right now.
So behind all the ones I just listed,
I'm going to put it right behind Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and ahead of Test Track. So I think over time, maybe it may move up. But I think it's a great ride. And after I ride it with my son, it probably will move up. But right now, it's a solid coaster. It's fun. But I don't think you have quite the level of detail or thrill that you have with a Big Thunder Mountain or Rock Roller Coaster.
Sure.
So, well, boys.
Boys is back.
This has been fun.
The boys.
This has been fun. We hope that you'll come back and join us on Thursday for a special Thursday bonus edition. We have a fun listener idea in store for you there. And so we hope to have a little fun then. Guys, anything else before we head out of the graveyard?
We continue to get more and more followers and more downloads. So just we appreciate the support and we enjoy helping. So just continue to pass the word.
And as you leave, be sure to...
Beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
And he tried to drop a Taylor Swift referent. He tried to drop...
Referents.